I do love all the people that I know here. Just one reason I think I'm a child of God, I love God's children. And I believe I love Ricky all if I knew you. And I love all the preachers I know, and by the way, I know you. I remember one time at Little Flock Church, you came there one night, and you said, folks, I preached one of the greatest sermons that have been preached this morning. I preached on humility. I remember that. But anyway, let me just say something before. I believe God's given me a topic. I really believe he has. And some things Isaac said, and his prayer indicated that, and even the last song y'all sung, made me believe God's in the matter. But I want to make a statement first. Y'all got a sound system back there. You got lights here. And I'm sure you used power tools when you built this church. And I don't know if you got an electric stove or not. It doesn't make a difference. You may have one. But there's something I want you to know about this. None of the stuff works without electricity.
Yeah, that's right.
I do a lot of, in our church, I'm kind of the janitor sometimes. And so I do the vacuum cleaner. And one time the power was out and that thing wouldn't work. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't care how much machinery you got, if you don't have the Holy Spirit,
amen,
nothing works.
That's right.
Nothing works without the Holy Spirit. We have a song in the book that says, all is vain unless the Spirit,
that's right,
of the Holy One comes down. That's true of preaching, listening, all kinds of stuff. So we need the Holy Spirit very much, don't we? But here's what I want to do. I've just got some scriptures written down here. This won't be a big, powerful sermon, but I hope it'll be an effective sermon. That's why I really want it to be effective. I can't help you very much. I can point you to one who can help you. So here's what I want to do. One time down in San Antonio, Texas, we were down there on a school trip. We had a little private school. And it just coincided with the dedication of a new church building, just like this here. And so we were at Judy's aunt's house. And I didn't have a big part in this constitution. I had a very small part. But I was out there in the backyard at Shirley in Nacho's house, and all of a sudden God laid a text on me about that place, and I think he laid the same on me today. Acts 16:13. The founding of the church of Philippi, one of the best churches in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul, every time he went to a city, he'd go to the synagogue first, because that's where the Jews had already got the Old Testament. Oh, man, God put those synagogues out there in his province, didn't he? And he had the place just sitting where the gospel ministers would go preach. They go to the synagogue first, because they had, like, monotheism. They got another polytheism, and they also had the Old Testament. But when you didn't have enough Jewish men in a city to have a synagogue, that's what happened here in Philippi, evidently. They said they had to have about 10 Jewish men to have a synagogue. So what Paul did, he couldn't find a synagogue, but he found a group of sisters that were moving down by river to pray. And so I'm going to read this expression. I hope this will stick with you if you don't remember anything else I'll say. Acts 16:13. On the Sabbath, we went out of the city by riverside for prayer. Would want to be made. That means prayer is a custom to be made. I hope to God this little church here heard that prayer is a custom to be made. Oh my God, I hope it's the truth. I'm going to read you a few texts now. And I'm going to tell you about my life a little bit. God knows I'm not bragging. All I have is a King James right there. I'm not lying, because I'm not arrogant about this, because I've fallen far short, but I do believe in prayer.
Amen.
At our church, we meet at 10 o'clock to pray. I'm really disappointed a lot of people won't show up. I wish everybody did. We ever have a Bible, I will. We pray for half an hour, close to. For over 30 years, Jimmy Barber started this. My colleague and Herb knows him. He started a prayer meeting in Memphis that we, one day a week, Brother Jerry, we meet and pray for revival. We've been going since 1987. Haven't seen a revival yet, but I'm going to keep praying. We go to Bobby Poe's house, who's in, we can't get out. And my father-in-law, who died in 1997, the last week of his life, he was at their prayer meeting on Monday morning, and he was dead by Sunday. Gonna be the Lord. In our church, I've done a lot of your churches this way. We call what we call bathing a church in prayer. What we do is we take a church, and we pass out little reminders and put a thing up on the bulletin board. We bathe them in prayer. Our unit called pastor. We've done Mayhew. We used to do it every day. Now we're going to do Mayhew. So we do that. And then one, on the first Sunday of every, on the first Wednesday of every month, every day of fasting and prayer. And we concluded with a prayer meeting. But I'm telling you, you know what I'm doing this year? I mean, don't y'all pray for me about this. I got an expression. You know, John Paul Jones says, I've not yet begun to fight. You hippie kids know that? I hope this year, Brother Jerry, I'm asking God, I hope to God, I have not yet begun to pray. That's where I want to be. I hope you'll be there with me. My friend, God's mighty, isn't he, Roger? He's mighty. So that's one scripture. I'll just remember that scripture where prayer was meant to be made. And I'm just going to turn to some places in the Bible that the Bible preaches itself. I don't have a big sermon prepared today. Look over in Isaiah. Let's look at Isaiah. And I hope you can get some good practical points out of this, because I really want to do that. I hope even you kids, if y'all love the Lord, you start praying. You know, God hears your prayers. Judy and I were thinking today about a bunch of old sisters in different places we've been who were prayer warriors. Sister Jessie Cleveland up in Indiana, Sister Sadie Bieber down at Pine Hill in Richmond, Mississippi. Sister Ivy at Red Chapel. Just a bunch of people who've been prayer warriors. And when we get to heaven, we'll be surprised at how God has answered their prayers. Your prayers are not fruitless. You know that, Joe? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The devil wants you to do that. But we don't always see dramatic answer to prayer, but he always hears our prayers. Sometimes you won't feel the emotion you want to feel. I love the emotion, don't y'all? But you won't always have that. Let me tell you what I heard one time. The pastor of that church that Spurgeon used to pastor, it may be that Peter Matthews, the guy that's still there, he said one time, he said, you know, I decided to get up in the morning and start praying. I didn't want to miss an extra praying. So he said, for 2 weeks, me and Will met for prayer. He said, thank God, after 2 weeks, one day, emotion joined us. I like that, don't you?
Yeah.
You pray anyway, God's hearing our prayer. We don't pray because we feel like it. We just, because God said, do it. But sometimes God will give us the spirit of grace and supplications.
Yeah.
I like it individually. I like it in the homes. I like it in the churches. We can't overdo praying. Let's read down. I didn't mention some of this, and some of this was mentioned in the song and all that. But let's look at Isaiah 56, first of all. Isaiah 56. This is wonderful. Verse 7. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings, and we got better than that today. We got spiritual offerings, haven't we?
Yeah.
Their burnt offerings, their sacrifices shall be accepted upon my altar, for my house shall be called the house of prayer among all people.
Yeah.
And Jesus Christ said that, didn't he, about the temple? And the temple today, really, is the church of the living God, the pillar of the truth. So it's called the house of prayer. Now, let's look over in Isaiah 64. I said, well, we're not praying like we should, and we're not. So let's do something about that. Let's look at Isaiah 64, look at verse 7. The Lord's complaining to Israel about some misbehavior. And here's what it was. I'm just going to read probably the first of this. There's none that calls upon my name that stirreth up himself to take hold on of thee. First, he's saying, we need to stir ourselves up to pray. You know how you can do that? Read the Bible. Read the prayers of the scriptures. Paul had a great prayer in Ephesians 1. He had a great prayer in Ephesians 3. They had a great prayer in Philippians 1, 10 through 12. The Daniel, what did you make of Daniel? Ninth chapter, by the way. Ninth chapter. Powerful, powerful prayer in Daniel 9. Confessing the sin of his forefather and confessing his sin, making God have mercy. And guess what God did? My friend, he left them out of captivity.
Yeah.
They've been in Babylonian captivity for 70 years, and God stirred them up to pray. They prayed and let them out of captivity. I've got to do exceeding abundantly above all we're able to ask or even think. So I didn't remember that. So I need to stir myself up to pray. So do it. Let's stir ourselves up. We got to be reminded, haven't we? Stir ourselves up to pray. All right. Now, let's also look at Hosea 14, too. You preachers know where that's at. Some of you other people do, too. Let's look at Hosea 14, too. I love this. I hope we'll give you some pointers now that you can retake home with you. Hosea 14, 2. Let's just read verse 2. Let's go to the second verse. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. And I won't read the rest of that. He knows good. Take your words, turn to the Lord. What kind of words are you going to take? Right out of here. You know what I do sometimes? I take the Lord's model prayer, and I pray that to the Lord, hear my sentiments. And you know what? If you really get going, you're amazing what they can do. Our Father. Well, I start on the word our for a while and settle with it for a while. Our. People in Siberia. People in India. People in Tortola. People in Mexico. People in Memphis. Our. Our. Father. There's a lot in that Father, isn't it? Father. If we then, being evil, know how to give to our children, how much more shall our Father in heaven give good things and let the chapter Luke, the Holy Spirit, to them and ask him.
Yeah.
And you just, you know, I won't pray the rest of that prayer, but you just pray it. And one thing that Pete pointed out in his book, and I recommend this book if you haven't ever gotten it, you ought to get Lenny's and Paul, A.W. Pete's book on prayer. Some of y'all have probably read that. You ought to get it. You can get it real cheap, or you can probably download it off the internet. And here's something Pete pointed out. He's right. He said most of the prayers that Paul prayed were for spiritual blessings. It's okay to pray for material things. We ought to. That manna, brother, did it. Even the spiritual manna and the natural manna, both we need it. We want health. But the main prayers that Paul prayed for spiritual blessings. And in fact, that's in that Lord's model prayer. The only material thing he said was, give us this day our daily bread. Anything else was for spiritual blessings. You kids need to remember that. Spiritual things are better than natural things. You know that. So you can have a lot of money, but that's not going to help you die. It's not going to help you through a hard place. But God will help you through a hard place. God will help you die. He gives you living grace. He gives you dying grace. He gives you all kinds of grace. We need spiritual blessings. So we all pray for them. So anyway, again, take words. When you're reading the Bible, it'd be a good thing. That'd be your prayer book. Probably y'all, some of y'all heard of George Mueller, the great prayer warrior that lived in England. He was a German. He lived in England. Had those orphanages. A lot of them know that story. It's just amazing. He even kept diaries when God answered prayer to prove that God doesn't answer prayer. He was his ministry. He would prove that God answered prayer. He'd write down all these specific requests, then he'd write down when they were answered. And he found them orphans sometimes in just the last minute. One time a bread truck broke down right in front of the orphans, and the guy had to give them the bread. All kinds of stuff like that. But you know what? He's the same God that was George Mueller's God.
Yeah,
I love my bank account, but I can't depend on my bank account. You can't depend on your vendor. You can't. I'm so proud our government's still going, aren't y'all? We're so much in debt. It's unreal. You know, when I lived in Clinton, Kentucky, and I love my wife so much, she's willing to live, and I've been blessed mightily, I'm not complaining, but we never have really had a real sure income. I've been a full-time preacher by God's blessing for a long time. My wife really live that way. We lived in Clinton, Kentucky, first got started up there. We started a church up there in Southwestern Kentucky back in the 70s, and I'm worried about things because I got a little wife to take care of. We lived on Highway 703, an old country road, and one night I get out, so I'm going to go out and talk to you all. So I get the walking board, Jerry, and he didn't speak to me in a voice, but in my heart he said, spiritual security is better than social security. Don't forget that. That's right. If the whole government goes up, God had promised to feed us.
Yeah.
I'll never leave you nor forsake you. We not have what we want, we have what we need. But God, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. David said, I've been young, now old, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, and he's seen begging bread. Isn't that right? That's right.
Yeah.
Now, you do the best you can. Thank God for what you got. Enjoy what you got. Don't feel guilty if you got something. If you use it right, like this church has, I'm going to tell you something. What you've done in the Siberian little church is a sweet-smelling savor in God's nostril because Philippians 4 said it is. I went to a church the other day, Show Creek, where Jimmy Fillmore pastors. They give away bookings of money. And Grace Chapel was a generous church where I pastor. I thank God for that. It's a sweet-smelling savor, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God.
Yeah, yeah.
God is not unrighteous, because you're working labor of love, that you, in that you minister to the saints and do minister. I think it's Hebrews 6:10. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
All right, so now, so take words with you. When you read the Bible, let it be a prayer manual. Let it remind you to pray. Now, George Mueller, let me get back to him a little bit. He said, you know, he would get up early in the morning and pray. He said, I had a hard time getting the spirit of prayer. So here's what he tried this for a year or two before he told anybody about it to make sure it worked. He didn't want to just come up with some kind of a pipe dream. He said, what I started doing was reading my Bible. As I read it, I turned to a prayer book. If I came to something that rebuked me, I'd repent on the spot. If I came to a promise, I'd plead that promise. And he said, invariably, in a short time, I got in the spirit of prayer. He used the Bible like a prayer book. So like Hosea said, take with you words and go to the Lord. Isn't that great? That's great. All right. Let's go down to Hosea, same book, in chapter 10. This is a powerful verse. If you have not been doing good in prayer, this is a good verse for you. It's a good verse for me, too. This is a powerful verse. I bet you overheard preaching this a lot of times, probably. Hosea 10:12. Soak yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. Do you have any fallow ground? That's ground that hadn't been plowed for a long time. I've got a lot of spiritual fallow ground. Every year, about this time, I try to start the new year off right. Say, God, show me what some of my fallow ground is and help me to break it up. So I hope this will be a practical sermon. Even you kids will lift a whole while. You haven't been praying like you ought to? Get on it. Get on it. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Memorize that verse. It's a short verse. Chew on that a little bit. We need to break up our fallow ground. See, we're sinners, aren't we? So I got a lot of resolutions I make. Then I forget about them sometimes. You do that? I say, I'm going to do this. I've been so enthused. And then I say, hey, what happened here? I haven't been doing that. Now, let me tell you one thing I have been doing. I want to tell you this because I love this scripture. For years and years and years, I tried to do this, but I was very, very spasmodic. But when Hillary Clinton got beat, I'm not talking politics, I'm going to tell you what happened. I'm serious about this. God knows I'll tell the truth. When Hillary Clinton got beat, I think I had lost hope. Now, I'm not bragging on Trump, don't get me wrong. When Hillary Clinton got beat, God Almighty, that same night, turned on a prayer switch in my heart. So my routine is, my friend, every morning I pray for our nation and I pray for our churches.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what I pray for our churches. You ought to do this. Look over in Isaiah 62. I'll turn to it. I can probably quote it, but I won't mess it up. And the Lord knows there have been very few days I've missed this. And I give God the glory. And I've tried for a long time to do it. And I just couldn't stick with it. I stuck with it the last couple of years, though. And I hope I can get better, a lot better. But this is marvelous verses. This is what I do before I start praying for our churches. And I pray for all kinds of stuff. I mean, I don't even know what we need, really. We need repentance and all kinds of things, don't we? But this is glorious. I'm going to read verse 1 and then skip down to verses 6 and 7. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness go forth with brightness, and the salvation and the electric burner. I'm going to keep praying as I say, God bless Israel, Zion, which is the church today. Then look at verse 6 and 7. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Zion, which shall never hold their peace, day or night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep thy silence. Give him no rest till he establish, well, let me read rest there. Till he establish, till he make Jerusalem a praise of the earth. Isn't that amazing? Can't you see that watchmen on those walls? I'm not going to shut up, God. I'm not going to shut up. And God encourages us not to shut up. Look at the Syrophoenician woman. Who would take no for an answer? Faith will give you skill in prayer. You say, I can't pray. Sure you can't pray. God can help you pray. Paul even said in Romans 8, he said, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for if we ought. And we don't. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what the matter of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Brethren, you're groaning your best prayer probably. Just groan sometimes. You can't pray. Sister, just groan. God hears those groans. Baby, that means you say, you groan. You say you can't preach too much anymore because you're sick. You can groan, brother.
Yeah.
And God hears those groans. We ought to be groaning. I want God to put groans in my heart. I don't want to be satisfied with the condition our churches are in. I want to be, I want to serve God better. I don't want to be indifferent. I don't want to be lukewarm. But I will be if God don't help me. So remember yourself. I have said, watchmen of the wild walls of Zion, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep my silence, give him no rest, till he establish, till he make Jerusalem a praise of the earth. God can do it. The devil said, oh, he can't do that. This is the 21st century. Even God can't do it. He's a liar. The devil is a stinking liar. My friend, God can make something blue. The last part, let me just mention this to you. Over in Isaiah 6, won't read it to you, but God, the last part, pretty unusual language. Let me read, I'll read that to you. Isaiah 6, it's a pretty dismal situation. But I'll read it to you. In Isaiah 6, that's the great time when Isaiah saw the Lord high lifted up and all that. Well, I can't go through the whole chapter for time's sake, but let's come down to that last part. Man, it's looking rough down there. It's looking rough. Let's see here. I got to find it. Okay, now, Isaiah, God said, he said, how long? The Lord said to me, you have a rough infant. And Isaiah said, how long, the Lord? So, in verse 11, let's read that verse, read down the end of this. Then said I, Lord, how long? He answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land shall be utterly desolate. And the Lord can remove men far away, they're going to go into captivity, and then a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But get this last wonderful verse, verse 13. But yet it shall still be, in it shall be a tent, and it shall return, shall be eaten, and a teal tree, and an oak whose substance is in them, where they cast their leaves, for the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. What do we have here? It's a word picture. There's a forest been cut down and probably burned over, and the trees are all open dead. But guess what? There's life in some of those trunks. And so the next spring, a spring comes up. Sometimes it looks like a church is that dead, but they're alive. And you may feel an individual you did sometimes. I like to picture someone with a redbud tree. We got a redbud tree out north of our house, right by the window there. And so I like a redbud tree. My kids got to climb that, and they killed the thing. So somebody cut it down with a chainsaw. I said, well, shoot. Guess what happened next spring? A little green sprig came out. And that thing grew out again. My friend, you may think you're dead spiritually. If you're a born-again child of God, the Spirit of God in you, God can revive you when you need to. You'll probably get revived. You think a church is dead? Listen, I preach at those churches. Coming in. I don't embarrass them. I don't know how long they'll last, but they're the only ones that are gathering. But they don't want to quit.
Yeah.
If they do want to quit, somebody, God may let them quit. He may say, your job's finished. You complete your job. But I don't think they're crazy to keep meeting. God can revive that place.
Yeah.
In Post Camp, Mississippi, there's a church called Shirali. And they got down to two old maid sisters, Donnie and Johnny Cox. And they just would meet there and pray because they didn't have a preacher. They got to praying and praying. God sent them a minister down there. The preacher revived, and they got a pretty good congregation today. God can do what he wants to. Where Jimmy Fuller preaches at Shoal Creek, and you know about this because you were probably involved on that, they got into, I think it was six members. And they had no one join there in 26 years. How about that? And old Joe Hilworth moved to Atlanta, didn't he? He's a banker, and they called him to preach. And my friend, in a couple of years, eight people joined. That's pretty good. That's a big double congregation. And they got 75 or 80 people there. That's a really vibrant congregation. God can do it!
Yeah.
Because you're small, that's not what counts. It counts where your heart's at. And God can do what he wants to do. He may not, he may. But God can do it. Don't ever forget that. Pray for God to give you wisdom. Herman, you may have to quit someday. I don't know. I think God will give you a well-run, good, faithful servant and give you a release. And I believe, but until that time comes, go ahead. God is in the business of working miracles.
Yeah.
He did right here. Isaiah, it looks pretty bad. But there's a remnant down there. There's some life down there. And I can bring that to life. All right. Let me find a couple more texts here. I'm not overdoing it, you know. I'm not overdoing it as many as it should have been done. Let's go to the New Testament for a great text. It's a fantastic text. It's over in Ephesians chapter 6. And there are two verses I'd like to read to you. Three maybe. But I'm telling you they're powerful verses. You know, some verses, I call them concentrated. You ever bought any concentrated orange juice? It comes in a really little cylindrical can, right? You set them up. You open that thing up. You dump that stuff in there, and you add 3 cans of water, right? And you stir it up. But brother, some of these verses, there's some like that, looks like that can. This was one of them. You put about 3 things of Holy Ghost in there, you really got you something. You got you a good drink. Ready? Let's read this. This is verse 18. I would challenge you to study this verse 18. Study it. Meditate on it. Get the sweetness out of it. Chew on it. Praying always. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And working thereto, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints.
Yeah.
You get that whole book, verse, you do some praying. But he's not through yet. Because guess what we need prayer more than anybody? We poor old pushers.
Yeah.
You think we can just hit a lick of a snake in the leak without God. We can't do it. Brother Jerry knows that all these guys have been preaching about it. You can't do it. But let me give you some good news about that. This is kind of a rabbit trail, a good rabbit. When you think you failed, you haven't always failed. One time, I went to Indiana when before we had any children. It's about a long time ago. And Brother Don Ellis was a man who wanted to have revival up there. And he knew me, and he thought, well, maybe if Brother Zach comes up here, we do some preaching, maybe he's got stuff for revival. So we went down and started preaching in people's homes. And I had a good look at these homes. I had a lot of fun. So one night, we go to Sister Mary Chastain's house. She's a preacher widow. I don't remember her husband. They say he's a great preacher. And so there's Sister Mary Chastain, and there's Don and Betty, his wife, with Judy and me. And then they have Ralph and Sue Chastain, that's Sister Mary's son and daughter-in-law, and their children. And so I felt so good. I've been having fun preaching. I still don't even know where I caught a turn. I've heard the story a lot of times, the true story, a lot to me. And I've heard men having this experience. I've only had it one time in my life. I hope I never have to have it again. When I got up in that little room, I didn't know what to even say. I know I said something. I'll tell you why I know it the other minute. Herb, I don't know what I did. I was so embarrassed. It's like walking in the mud. I couldn't even really find the check or anything. Well, I felt so terrible about that. About 10 years later, I go to the Cincinnati meeting. A young lady approached me. She said, Brother Zach, see how I'll talk to you a minute. She said, you don't know me, but I know you. She said, you remember the night you came and preached at Sister Mary Chastain's house? I said, I remember that. She said, Brother Zach, I was a little girl that night. That's the night that God converted me. That's the night God converted me. It's not my ability. It's not my hollering loud. It's God's Spirit. Now, you know God let me see that, didn't he? You know he let me see that. I need it, Ray. And you, brethren, don't you ever get tired of preaching. Sow the seed. Preach the word of God. You people live for God when you don't even think you're doing any good. Don't need a revival there at Greenwood, don't you? You've held on for a long time. Keep on holding on and keep praying. And God may answer your prayer after you're dead. You know, God's good about stuff like that. Don't ever quit praying. Die praying. You know, I'll tell you why I know God remembers prayer. The Lord comes, the angel comes to Zacharias. Zacharias, old man Zacharias. He says, Zacharias, your prayers, they come before God. Now, hold it.
Yeah.
Zacharias hadn't prayed that prayer a long time. He didn't pray for a baby. He's an old man. His wife's no way. Brother Henry, he forgot that prayer, didn't he? But God hasn't forgot it. And the prayers you prayed are not wasted. God will remember them. I knew an old man. He was kind of a world-class scholar, really. Avion Eddings. An old Presbyterian preacher from over in Wales. And we get to meet Brother Avion. And he's written a lot of books if you want to get them. Avion, E-I-F-F-I-O-N, something like that. You said Avion. And he real quick about an old man. He wrote the book of the Bible. So I said, but I found out in Wales, he pastored a tiny, little bitty congregation. I said, do you ever get discouraged? He said, I do not get discouraged. I said, why? He said, because I pray for revival either in my lifetime or after I'm dead. That's what we got to do. Okay, now. So, verse 19, I need it to. We preachers need it so badly. Look at verse 19 now. Actually, he said this one thing in prayer, and for me, that others may be given to me. I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that I may speak boldly as all speak. Brethren, pray for us. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. You know what I want you to do? Pray for us that your will come from God. That's what Paul said. He said, I don't come with excellency of speech. And here's why he said, I want to come and demonstrate the spirit and the power. Why? That your faith may not be in the wisdom of men, but in God. One time I'm in Texas, a long time ago, right after I got married, again, back in 1969, down in Gonzales, Texas, where the Mormon couple was. They had a guy named I.W. Gillum from Houston, and he got to preach. And I tell you, you're talking about preaching. And Pop, that was Brother Cooper's daddy. And also Pop hollered out loud, listen to old Gillum! He preached it over his head. Well, that's what we need, is men preaching over their head. So, you know, I'm a good preacher. But I've heard him do this. Heard a good preacher. Y'all may not believe this. Her preacher better overseas than he does here. That's the truth. You can't believe it. I've shouted up here preaching overseas. And here's why it's fun. Okay, here we're in Siberia. I'm sitting on this old bench with no back on it. And my heart's already moved because these old guys used to be in Stalin's prisons. They got their old wild hands hanging over with tattoos on their fingers when they were prison members. So you already feel for them. Well, here I am. And an old herd cuts loose and I want to shout so bad. And about 3 seconds later, that old guy went to shout. And we look at each other, eye at me. It's fun. It's fun. But I heard the preacher over his head. And we need to be preaching over our head. Don't, you all love us. You know, and hold our hands up. But my friend, don't trust us to be the one who brings the power of the gospel out of it. So you ought to pray for us. Pray again for me that others may be given to me. I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that I may speak boldly as I speak. God, I pray God. I say, God, make me preach stuff I don't even want to. Because preacher is a chicken. Yes, I am. And that's about all I want to preach. It's going to get on their toes. They ain't going to like it. But I pray, God, make me do it. I hope He will. Sometimes He has. So I've been stunned sometimes. I say, uh-oh. Can't take it back now. But if you'll get me in trouble, God, I'll tell you, that's what we ought to do. That, ain't that right, brother? I say y'all nodding y'all's head. We need courage to preach what God wants us to be preached. Now, okay, I'm almost through. Let me give you two more. Colossians chapter 4. I want to be this man. I'm not there. I know I'm not there. I'm not being falsely humble. I just know I'm not there, but I'd like to get here. You've heard of the expression prayer warrior. We need some prayer warriors. And listen, women, we need women prayer meetings.
Yeah.
Like, so those women there, the first text I read where prayer wanted to be made, that was sisters. Now, I'm telling you a lot of stories, because I've been around a long time. I went to Clayton, Kentucky to start a church. God started it. You and I, you and I went up there. Had a sweet, sweet time there for 3 years. And you know why I went there? I don't know why. There are two little sisters I didn't even know. One was Essie Mae Richardson. Her memory still must be just well up with joy. Essie Mae Richardson was kind of trapped in her home because her husband was in with. She begged God, God, please let me get to go to church. Sister Freda Walson lived up on Highway 51. She's an old German woman who had married a pretty Baptist, and he had dead. She could sing that Martin Luther song in German. I'm 54. I guess all the German I know, but I probably said right. Anyway, though, they prayed. She couldn't go to church. It was too far away where her church was. That church where it comes here. I know they prayed to be up there. And I'm going to tell you what these women did. You sisters, you don't know what God may do. When they got to praying that whole time, God said, you know what? Now, I'm not God, but I know what He said it's about. I tell you what I want to do. I see you, sister, for prayer, if what we made, I'm going to send you my first ring. I'm sending Paul down there, and he did. Isn't that right, Brother Judy? You don't ever give up. God hear the prayer of His sisters. And I tell you what, we may have some widows here. God has special regard for prayer of widows.
Yeah.
I know He does. Bible teaches that. And widows too, Roger. I believe that. You spend lonely hours. Your heart is breaking when you remember the happiness you had. And you're serious minded. Brother James, that's one of them. He loves you. But brother, he still loves to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I bet you in that place where you live down there, the prayer to go up to God Almighty. He's hearing you as sacrifice. Because Revelation chapter 8 says, the prayer of the saints come up before God is week 27. But anyway, over in Colossians chapter 4, I just love this so much here. Over in verses 12 and 13. Epaphras, who's one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you. Now get these next words. Always laboring fervently for you in prayer, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. I bear him record that he hath great zeal for you, them in Laodicea, them in Hierapolis. He prayed for his home church and his sister churches. You do that. I love the whole kingdom of God. I pray for y'all. I pray for a lot of churches. I need to pray for more of them. I pray for individuals. My friend Epaphras, always laboring fervently in prayers. That word laboring in the Greek is agonizomai. We got that in agony. Agonizomai. So may God, now I'm floating with this to the preachers, and I do pray that everybody will do the same, but in Acts chapter 6, the deacons were ordained. The pastor were taking care of the needs of the widows. Rightly so, pastors ought to do work like that. They should not be lazy. But they had so much to do, it was interfering their major work, which is preaching the gospel of Christ. So, when Peter made his statement, he said, we need to ordain us some guys here, and they were deacons, that we may give ourselves continually to prayer. In the ministry of the word. We have prayed for us, the ministry of the word, not going to go very far. May God bless you. I love you so much. I have not overdone it. I hadn't even done it good enough. But I hope it had an effect. Brother, let's pray. Just pray. Spread yourself up to pray. You kids pray. You old folks pray. You men pray. You women pray. Pray in church. Pray in your families. Pray by yourself. God, in a prayer meeting, praying for God.
Amen.